Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is teaching through a series of messages designed to encourage, equip, and prepare us spiritually for the new year ahead. We've titled this series, Jesus, All We Need. Have you ever wondered how we are to live knowing the times we live in? Can I be useful to the church, to my friends and family? What has God called me to do? Let's join Pastor Brian in the book of Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 13, for the second half of a message titled, And Do This Knowing the Time.
If God has put so much effort and so much detail into the general creation, how much more does He have a perfect plan, purpose, and function for those creatures that are created in His very image, speaking of ourselves? You see, God's got a plan, but we've got to surrender to Him completely to get into it. In the sixth verse, Paul says this. He says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Here Paul tells us that every person who is a believer in Jesus Christ, every person who is born of the Spirit and filled with the Spirit, every person has a gift or gifts from God. Do you realize that today? Do you realize that God has gifted you? And He's given you these gifts so that they can be used. He wants them to be used. He wants them to be used in the context of His body so that the church can be strengthened and built up and made strong and accomplish the purpose that God has for it in the world. You have a contribution to make, and as I've said before, I'll remind you again, there are to be no spectators in the church of Jesus Christ. We're all to be involved with those gifts that God has given to us. Now, you might say, well, I don't know what my gifts are. I'm not sure. How can I serve God if I don't even know what I'm gifted to do? Well, Paul here, he lists some gifts for us. It's not an exhaustive list, but he lists a few things. He says, if prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith, or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So here's some of the different gifts that are at work in the body of Christ. But again, how do I know what my gift is? Well, you know, it happens supernaturally in somewhat of a natural way. What happens is you just have an inclination towards something and you just start to move in that direction. Now think of prophecy for a moment. When we even hear the word prophecy, a lot of times we think, oh, prophecy, whoa, that's, you know. Prophecy is the proclamation of the Word of God. And on the simplest level, prophecy is the gift to share God's word with other people so that they might be encouraged in their faith. So you see, you might have the gift of prophecy, but you don't even realize it, but you just have this inclination to share with people. You just have it on your heart to speak a word to them, to write out a word to them or something like that. And when you do that, you find that, wow, the people are blessed. My mother has a gift of prophecy. She doesn't even realize it. But she has this inclination to give people encouraging words, and she's always sending out a card, sending out a little note, just, you know, sending a word to somebody. And quite often, people will come to me and say, man, I got a note from your mom, and it had these verses in it, and those verses were exactly what I needed to hear. Now, if you asked my mom if she had the gift of prophecy, she would say, oh, no, And if I told her, Mom, I think you have that gift, she would say, oh, no, I don't have that gift. But she does. And many others do. And perhaps many of you here have that as well, but you just haven't realized what it is. Use that gift. Paul says, let us prophesy according to our faith. And you see, with all of the gifts, there's an element of faith. We've got to step out. Opportunity comes, the inclination is there, but a lot of times we're like, oh, well, I probably can't do that. And, oh, well, you know, they don't need me. And who am I, after all, to volunteer, you know, to get involved in that sort of a thing? You see, the opportunity's there, the gifting's there, but you're not going to realize it until you take the step of faith. He speaks of the gift of ministry here. What is that? Well, simply put, it's the gift of serving. And God has given that special gift to people. They just have an inclination to serve. They just walk in and they see something that needs to be put right. They say, you know, I need to take care of that. I want to help out with that. Or you find out about a need. Somebody's maybe moving and they need a truck. You've got a truck. Wow, you just have it on your heart. I want to go over and help out there. You see, that's a gift of ministry. Or you hear about just some little act of service that's needed. Maybe there's a project going on at the church, or maybe there's an orphanage that they need to have some construction work done on or something like that. And you're stirred. You're moved. You see, this is the Spirit stirring up those giftings. We've got to take that step into the service. And then there's teaching. He mentions teaching here. And teaching has, again, a lot of variety to it. Of course, that's what's happening from this pulpit here every day of the week, but that's what's happening over in the children's ministry as well. And God might be putting on your heart to teach His Word, maybe to go over and volunteer for the children's ministry, or maybe to start a little Bible study at work there at lunchtime, or maybe to open up your home for a home fellowship or something like that. But, you know, you've got this inclination. You're sort of feeling that. But you know what happens so often? We get that kind of a thing, and we think, oh, that's not the Lord. That's me. That's my flesh. I've had so many people come to me over the years and say, you know, I feel like this and I want to do this. And they've got great aspirations to serve the Lord. And then they say, but you know, I just think it's my flesh. Well, you know, your flesh isn't really inclined toward that. Your flesh has inclinations for sure, but it's generally not toward, you know, acts of service. So if you're feeling inclined to that, it's probably the Lord. And so you need to take that step of faith, stepping out, teaching, exhorting, giving, leading, mercy, these things. The gift of giving. Now, how do we know who has the gift of giving? Well, first of all, you got something to give. If God's blessed you, if He's given you an abundance, maybe you're sitting around and you're rolling in the dough. And you're wondering, well, God, why have you blessed me with this? What's going on here? Well, the Lord, He wants to stir up that gift of giving in you. There's missionaries that need encouragement. They need support. There's different works that God wants to do in different places. And He's raised you up and given you the ability to give. I have a friend who owns a clothing company, and I was talking with him the other day and just telling him, hey, the missionaries are coming through town later, before the end of the year. And he says, hey, just come on over and get whatever you want, just as much as you want. Just take it and give it. And, you know, he's got that gift of giving. And so this is what we're to be doing in light of the Lord soon coming. Having gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, we are to use these gifts. But look with me at verse 9. Here's another thing that we're to do. Paul says we are to abhor evil and we are to cling to what is good. Now, I don't have to tell you, society is becoming more evil as we speak. It just seems like every week some new thing crops up that indicates just a season of darkness coming upon the land. And we're surrounded by evil. And being surrounded by evil, it's easy for us to sometimes get tainted with evil. Sometimes it's easy for us to be desensitized and to no longer, you know, look at something and think it's all that evil. But Paul says, abhor evil. We need to see evil as God sees it. And God abhors it. And when I say abhor evil, it doesn't mean that we hate evil people. It means that we abhor evil to the extent that I'm not going to engage in any evil activity. I'm not going to involve myself at all. I'm not going to let that evil touch me. I'm going to abhor it. I'm going to stay a million miles away from it. And I'm going to cling to what is good. And boy, today we've got to do that. We've got to cling to what is good because the enemy, through the culture around us, the enemy's just trying to pry the good out of everybody's hands and replace it with wickedness and with evil. And as we wait for the Lord's return, guess what? The Bible says that evil days and evil people are going to, it's going to go from bad to worse, basically, is what the scriptures say. You know, sometimes, again, we get this utopian idea that we can, you know, we're going to go back and we're going to restore the country to the traditional values that it was built on and all of that sort of thing. According to the Bible, that's not going to happen. Things are going to get worse before they get better. But that doesn't really affect us in one sense because we're to keep doing the same thing. We're to keep abhorring evil, clinging to good. We are to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world. That's what Jesus told us to do. And of course, salt only works if it comes into contact with that which is decaying. So we've got to come into contact with people. And you know light shines the brightest when it's the darkest. And so abhorring what is evil, clinging to what is good. And then verse 11, Paul says, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Are you excited about serving God? Boy, I remember when I first became a Christian, I would daydream about opportunities to serve the Lord. And I was just looking for anything I could do for Him. At that particular time, I was working at a surf shop down in Huntington Beach. And I remember going into work every day and just thinking, Lord, how can I serve you today? What can I do? And I would have all these fantasies about things that I wanted to do. You know, I wanted to go out and hand out tracts on my lunchtime, and I would do that. Or I would go out and, you know, meet with an old friend and try to share the gospel with them. Or I couldn't wait for some customer to come into the store that I might be able to strike up a conversation with them. Just anything. I remember in those days thinking, oh, if I could just get freed up and if I could just give all my time to serving the Lord Jesus. And many have had that experience, but here's the question. Is that your passion still today? Or has that fire died down? Has that diligence sort of dissipated? Are we still diligent? Are we still fervent in spirit? Are we still passionate about serving the Lord? Hey, we're that much closer. As Pastor Chuck said last week, you know, referring to those who might say, oh, Chuck, you've been saying this for 40 years. I don't know if you've had the opportunity to see this little DVD that's been produced recently, Maranatha 71. And it's just a little clip of the church back in 1971. Love Song is playing. Pastor Chuck's preaching over at OCC. And then there's, you know, the church service going on. He's reading the Daily Pilot. He's, you know, articles that are referring to Israel and so forth. And basically, he's saying the exact same thing that you heard him say last week. And you're right. So 1971, how long ago was that? Chuck, you've been saying that for all this time. Yes, right. So we're that much closer. Is our fervency still the same? Are we still passionate? And I remember when I first became a Christian in the 70s and came here and hearing about Jesus coming back and thinking about that reality and just saying, Lord, I want to serve you, but are we still that way? That's what Paul says. Maintain that fervency. Don't lose it. But then he says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. I want to concentrate for a moment on continuing steadfastly in prayer. You know, we have got to be steadfast in prayer. Because it seems to me that any time we break in prayer, any time that we maybe take a prayer vacation, where we're just going to put it on hold for a bit, it seems to me like we lose the ground that we gain through prayer. It reminds me of the story in Exodus 17, where the Amalekites had attacked the Israelites, and Joshua was sent out to fight them. And we read that Moses was there, he was overlooking the battle. sitting there on the hillside. And as Moses lifted his arms, Joshua would prevail against Amalek. But as Moses would become weary and as his hands were dropping, then Amalek would prevail against Israel. And so what happened is Aaron and Hur came along and they lifted up the hands of Moses. They put they put stones under his arms, and then they stood beside him holding up his arms. And as Moses held up his arms, Israel and Joshua prevailed over Amalek. And you know, that's certainly a picture of prayer. And as we continue steadfastly, Paul says, continue steadfastly, knowing that whenever we slack off in prayer, this is when the enemy gains ground again. And we have got to keep praying. We've got to be steadfast in prayer. And I want to send out this morning a challenge to those of you who are up there in years, and maybe you're at a point in your life where, practically speaking, you just can't get out and do a lot of those other kinds of things. You know, you hear about a missions trip and you think, I couldn't go on a missions trip. I don't even know if I can make it to the airport. Or, you know, some of the more practical things, you know, it's just beyond you at this stage. That's okay. Doesn't mean that there's nothing for you to do. As a matter of fact, perhaps your greatest ministry is just about to get underway, because everything that the church does and does effectively will be undergirded by prayer. And we need more men and women committed to prayer. We need prayer warriors. We need people continuing steadfastly in prayer. Boy, I'll tell you, in the last few years, I don't know how much you sense from where you sit, but there's been a ton of warfare that's gone on right here in this ministry and around this church and the movement of Calvary Chapel and the Christian body in general. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but there's a pretty serious war being waged against the church in these days. And we have got to have that strength that can only come to us through prayer. And I've talked to some of those here in the congregation who are older. And they felt a little bit like, well, you know, I don't know what I can do. I live, you know, 20 miles from the church. It's hard for me to get over here and volunteer for the different things. And on occasions I've talked to people, they've actually felt guilty about it. They felt condemned. And I've just encouraged them, no, you just stay right where you're at. Don't worry about getting over here, because you can pray from home. You can be involved in a serious part of this ministry. And I want to encourage you, that bulletin that you get, take that thing home with you. And practically everything we're doing around here, at least on the grounds, is laid out right there. You pray over that, over those ministries, over those pastors, over those people throughout the week, and you'll be doing a tremendous service for the kingdom of God. I encourage you to do that, to continue steadfastly in prayer. Paul goes on with several more things that we could look at, but we don't have time. So just jump with me over to chapter 13, verse 8, and let me read you verses 8 and then right on into 11. So you see the connection of the whole thing here. Paul says in verse 8, "No one owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed." You see how it's all connected? He says, do this. These are the things that we're to be doing: presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, having gifts, using them, being fervent about the Lord and our service to Him, continuing steadfastly in prayer, and then to top it all off, Paul says, love each other. I don't have to tell you, the world is an unfriendly place. There's not a whole lot of love in the world. The Church of Jesus Christ has been planted in this world basically as a love station. But you know, if we're not loving each other, then there's not anybody outside that's going to think of it in those terms and therefore be drawn into it. But if we're loving each other, as we're supposed to do, that is going to become a great attraction to those who are outside, who are longing for love, who are desperate for love. They're going to be drawn in as they see the love. And Jesus said, you remember, he said, all will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another. It's so easy for us to get upset with each other. It's so easy for us to get offended, and sometimes it's the smallest little thing that somebody will say or do, and then we just write them off. And we don't want to even see them. And so, oh, I heard they go to first service. I'm not going to first service. Don't want to run into that creep. You know, what is that? What kind of mentality is that? We've got to forgive. And you know, sometimes I tell people that, hey, you need to forgive them. Hey, but you don't know what they did. No. If they didn't do anything, you wouldn't need to forgive them. You know, somehow people think that if they really did something, then you don't need to forgive them. No, if they really did something, that's when forgiveness is necessary. And that's where the grace of God comes in. I'll tell you, I have seen more people destroyed over bitterness than I can count. People, you know, have been offended. And guess what? In life, you're going to get offended. And guess what? In the church, you're going to get offended. People aren't perfect. Christians aren't perfect. And we're going to say the wrong thing. We're going to do the wrong thing. We're going to mistreat each other at times. But we've got something that the average person doesn't have, and we don't have to hold on to bitterness. We're not supposed to hold on to bitterness because we've got the grace of God, the love of God, the power of God. We've got the example of Jesus Christ, and God, and the scripture tells us, as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you, you forgive others. Why did God forgive me? Because of what Christ did. Why do I forgive that other person? Because of what Christ did. You see, that's the basis. But you see, all of these things will come in and they will rob us of that love that we're supposed to have with each other. And they will then also rob us of that loving atmosphere that God wants there among his people that will be the drawing factor for those that are outside. So Paul says, owe no one anything except to love each other. That's the one debt that we're to have as Christians. It's the debt to love one another, and we're to do this knowing the time. So these are the things. As we look around the world today, I can't fix the world. I can't get to Washington, D.C. and sort things out there. I can't get up to Sacramento and straighten things out there. But you know what? That's not what God's calling me to do. God might call some of you to be involved on that level. That's fine. That's wonderful. God bless you. God empower you to do whatever you can do. But what God has really called us to do is to yield ourselves completely to him, use those gifts that he's given us so he can bring his work of salvation to those that still haven't heard it or received it. It's all coming down to this. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back again. We don't know when. It looks like it's not too far down the road. But Jesus said, occupy until I come. And these are the things that we're to be occupied with.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Broderson. We'll return next time with more biblical insight from the scriptures, remembering that all we need is Jesus. But if you missed any part of this study, or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com, click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called, And Do This Knowing the Time, and the resource number is OBB468. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together.
Forever, I'll hold.
Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.